Shut up and sit down.
It's our weekly hockey conversation with Seth Roba. He is our beat writer who covers the Pittsburgh Penguins here at Trib Live. Pens getting set for a game tonight against the New York Islanders. Actually, very busy set here coming up for the Penguins tonight, and then tomorrow evening against the Devils, then on Monday night at home against the Islanders. Three really important Metro Division games. Seth, how should they feel about their own game coming up against these important division opponents coming off of how they played against the teams on the West Coast?
There's definitely a lot of room for improvement. Let's put it that way. And it's been kind of, you know, status quo, I guess you could say, in terms of just it's been volatile. I mean, you know, that game in Anaheim, I mean, I know the Ducks aren't very good, but I mean, they just, you know, blow the Ducks out of the water there. And then they go to L.A. and, L.A.'s, you know, it's a good team, but, you know, they just get, you know, totally just stomped by the Los Angeles Kings. And then they go to San Jose, another bad team, and they largely get outplayed. But, you know, if not for the efforts of Casey DeSmith and Sidney Crosby, they, you know, they probably lose that game. But they get 4 points out of six on that part of this road trip here. And they got, you know, the results they got were all through three very different types of games. So, now there's definitely a lot of room for improvement. They just got to, I think above all else, they just got to find a way to get a consistent effort or offer a consistent effort on a night-to-night basis. You know, there's some good, there's a lot of bad, and there's a lot of like, what is that? So, I don't know what they're going to offer against the New York Islanders. I don't know what they're going to offer against the New Jersey Devils. I have a feeling it might be very different just based on their track record here. But, you know, they've been very volatile, I guess, to use a term Mike Sullivan's been fond of using in terms of describing their season so far.
Let's talk about the Tristan Jarry situation. Are you looking at where things stand right now in terms of, well, they'll have a short-term answer, or they're looking at a more long-term evaluation with him?
Well, I just want to see how healthy he is, first and foremost. I mean, he's dealt with two different types of injuries here since the calendar flipped over to 2023, dealt with what I assume is a right leg injury. Coming out of the Winter Classic there, then he's dealing with what's been described as an upper body injury. I always call them undisclosed injuries myself, but I just want to see how healthy he is. I mean, he has scheduled doctor's appointment on Thursday that forced him to miss practice, and he's supposed to be joining the team in Elmont, New York. I always kind of have to catch myself to make sure that I'm not saying Uniondale anymore, but Elmont, New York for the Islanders, and you know, presumably he'll be back in Pittsburgh with them for Saturday's game with New Jersey there. So I just want to see how healthy he is. I mean, he's, you know, for whatever success they want to have or will have this season, he'll be tied to it, you know, his well-being, his abilities. So, and he looked pretty good, I thought, actually, and, you know, coming back from, you know, the right leg injury for those two games he played in January. I think it was like a 4-1 home win against Ottawa, then they lost 2-1 in overtime to the Devils, and was a pretty good game for the team overall. So he looked good then. I don't know where he is, you know, as of now in terms of his well-being, his health or whatever, but whatever success they have, good, bad, or indifferent, it'll be tied to him, you know, in terms of how healthy and how tuned in he is, I guess, once he does return to the lineup.
Now, in the real macro sense, though, with this being an injury that might be something that lingers – not just for the rest of this year, but beyond, we'll probably find out, hopefully find out an answer to that. But, I mean, with yet another injury-addled season from him, how do you think that portends for him staying here on an extension to his contract or getting a new contract this offseason?
Well, I asked Ron Hextall that on whenever he had that press conference, kind of just off of the State of the Union, so to speak, for his team. And I asked him point blank, yeah, does Tristan Jarry's health give you concern as far as potentially extending him? And you know, Ron Hextall largely just didn't answer the question. So I'm sure it's something of concern. I mean, they wouldn't be doing their job if they didn't, you know, look into that and everything like that. So, if he's healthy, I think they really like him. They want him to be the future of the team, the future of the franchise, you know, at least be in the short term here, at least. But his health does have to, you know, be an area of concern. If he's healthy, I mean, I think he's one of the 12 best goalies in the league. He's maybe not necessarily a guy you win the Stanley Cup because of, but he's a guy you can win the Stanley Cup with. Again, he has a lot to prove when it comes to the postseason. I looked this up the other day. He actually has fewer career postseason wins for the Penguins than Louis Domingue, if you can imagine that. But again, if he's healthy, I think they're all in on him. And you know, but again, the health is a legit area of concern. They have to see where he is coming off this latest injury, and that will certainly dictate a lot as far as, you know, whatever you do with him in terms of contract extension.
Seth Verba with us. I just wonder if it's wise to start thinking, and I liked how you phrased that, maybe you don't win a cup because of him, but you could be successful in the playoffs with him. You know, they did that with Johan Hedberg that year that they got him. That was a guy who was acquired before the playoffs in a trade that, you know, when he got here, Seth, it wasn't like everybody was saying, oh, there's our goalie of the future. I think people assumed he was acquired to push, who was it, J.S. Albin at the time. And then he became very quickly the number one and was the top goalie here for a couple years and was a little known commodity. I wonder if they might look in that direction at the trade deadline for as much as they might be looking for a third liner or some help on the blue line, making a move at goalie like that, that could bolster them for this year, especially if Jari is in a bad state for the rest of the season, they figure that out, and maybe a guy who can be here for the next couple seasons.
Yeah. In a short-term sense, I think that's a very secondary concern. I think their biggest concern right now is just that third line. And if you want to lump in the whole bottom six, I guess, with that, but I, you know, given just their limited resources, i.e. cap space, I think their primary focus is trying to figure out what they can do with that bottom line, try to find a third liner, specifically a third line center, given Jeff Carter's inabilities right now. And if you go, you know, and again, not that, you know, trying to boost the goaltending isn't a worthwhile endeavor, but to me, if you do that, you really limit, or if not just, you know, prevent yourself from really addressing that third line. So for the immediate concern of the 2022-23 Pittsburgh Penguins, to me, their biggest concern has to be that third line. Anything else is secondary. You know, for, you know, whatever concerns you have there with Casey's, with Tristan Jarry's health and Casey's dismissing consistency, they are legit, but I just don't know that they're nearly as immediately pressing as trying to find something for your third line there.
And I would agree that the needs of the third line are pressing. I just don't know what they can do about it. Have you figured out a path of how they might be able to free up cap space and get somebody of substance in that can help?
I mean, you just have to get a team that's willing to take on salary, you know, in terms of a bad contract, whether it's, you know, Kasperi Kapanen, or, you know, if you want to throw Brock McGinn in there, whoever else. The biggest obstacle is clearing cap space. I mean, when they're a fully healthy team, I mean, I look at what the roster was on the start of the season when everyone was healthy, when, you know, acknowledging Teddy Bluger was a little dinged up at that time of the year, they had like 87 grand of cap space. Mm-hmm. So they have to get that number up a lot higher. And, you know, by doing that, you move someone off your books there. And Jeff Carter, I mean, his contract, I mean, is, you know, unappetizing it is just based on the cap hit. I mean, he also has a new trade clause. And it's also a 35 plus contract. So if he were to quote unquote retire or just outright retire, that number still is on your book. So they have to figure out a way to get around that somehow. I don't know how you do it. Yeah, that's Ron Hextall's mess. He's created it to some extent here, and he has to kind of find a way around it. So it's not impossible. I mean, you've seen some deals historically where, you know, teams are willing to take on bad contracts, even if, you know, without having to, you know, deal away a first round pick. I mean, you know, Jim Rutherford, I mean, perhaps his greatest trade here was finding a way to get the Chicago Blackhawks to take most of Rob Scuderi's contract and bring in Trevor Daley. Trevor Daley was a key part of the two Stanley Cup titles here. The franchise has won most recently. So it's not impossible. It's just very difficult, though. I think right now, just given where the league is overall in terms of the salary cap and the lasting ramifications from the pandemic, and just not a lot of teams out there have salary cap space. But it's difficult, but not impossible.
Seth Rorba with us. Are you hearing any names that would at least give them a target of how much cap space they would have to move?
As far as someone on the roster right now?
No. As far as somebody that they would want to acquire.
Oh, I mean, as far as people they want to acquire, I mean, I think they're probably pretty much in the rental market. Yeah, I know some of the big names out there, guys like Ryan O'Reilly or Ivan Barbashev from St. Louis. You know, the Blues are clearly, you know, a seller at this juncture. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how you get the contracts like those on your book or in your books without St. Louis eating a lot of salary and them absorbing a lot of salary. And, you know, you'd have to send away a future asset, you know, obviously for what St. Louis's interests are right now. And you know, Ron Hextall's pretty much put a firm foot down that he's not terribly interested in sending away a first round pick. And by that, I mean, you know, being, you look at their top prospects in their system that, and they have a very barren system to be sure. I don't think they're going to send away, say, Owen Pickering, their first round pick from last year, or anyone that's in the system right now that's a fairly viable prospect, like say, you know, Philip Holland or Valtteri Pustinen. And they're just not terribly interested in dealing away any of their very limited quality future assets. So definitely a lot of guys, a lot of names out there, but again, I just don't know how they get some of these larger salaries under, not, you know, forget even larger salary, even if someone's like making like $2 million, $1 million, I just don't know how you get that under your books right now without getting them to take away a big contract on your books already, and B, you know, also, you know, being willing to make that deal without, you know, the Penguins giving up a high-end future asset.
Speaking of volatility, you use that word. Mike Sullivan's used that word to describe the Penguins quite a bit. Good word for the Islanders, too, right? They lost 6 in a row, won 4 in a row, lost 3 in a row. What's going on with them? Especially they're losing a lot of one-goal games. What's going on with them, and how have they been since Horvat got there?
Yeah, you know, for all the concerns over the Penguins, you know, not exactly, wrapping things up here, I guess, or, you know, taking full advantage of their, you know, their situation. The team's kind of chasing them, you know, the Islanders, the Sabres, the Florida Panthers. I don't know if you want to throw the Detroit Red Wings in there. They're only about 3 points back. All these teams just aren't exactly, you know, making the Penguins or the Washington Capitals, for that matter, you know, really sweat this out too badly. I mean, there's been some, you know, up and down hockey by the Penguins and the Capitals here, and those other teams chasing them really haven't sealed the deal there. So, or you know, made the Penguins or the Capitals pay for any of their misdeeds here. So, as far as the Islanders, I mean, they're just, like an inconsistent team, like, you know, like the Penguins. They really haven't struggled, or I guess they really haven't played very well, I guess, in the past few years, you know. And I think a lot of this maybe for them goes back to the expansion draft. I mean, they gave up. Hey, every team had to give up a good player. The Penguins had to give up, you know, Brand Tanev, or if you want to throw in Jared McCann in there too as well. But you know, they end up, the Islanders end up Jordan Eberle, who always used to torment the Penguins, and they also gave up what was a salary move also that was related as well, was Nick Leddy. It was a really good puck moving defenseman, and they just became a slower team. Really, ever since then, they've just not been nearly as effective, you know, as those teams that maybe went to the Eastern Conference Final in, you know, consecutive years for them under Barry Trotz. So, the goaltending is always going to be the story with them. You know, Ilya Sorokin's probably one of the five, you know, one of the top three goaltenders in the league, I would say. And he's always going to be the guy that maybe kind of keeps them above water, whereas, you know, the rest of the team's, you know, kind of somewhat flawed. As far as Brock, you know, Bo Horvat, I mean, he's played well since he went there. I think he has like 4 points in five games or so. Signed that big 8-year contract extension once the trade was made. But again, a team that's just I don't know if I want to say they're poorly constructed. I mean, I look at the roster and it looks like some good pieces there in place, but I mean, they're a little bit top heavy. I'm not crazy about their bottom six. Their blue line, just I'm not terribly fond of. You know, Dobson's a fair player on the blue line there and stuff like that. But really, for me, it's their goaltending. Then they just kind of fly on, you know, hoping to maybe beat you in like 3-1, 2-1 games. And I just don't know if that's the way the NHL's built or attuned for to play for teams like that right now. But for me, again, it always starts with Ilya Sorokin, just one of the better goalies in the NHL.
Finally, Seth, the Devils, they've cooled a bit, losing 2 of 3 after winning 10 of 12. Give me your assessment on where you think they are and how they've managed to maintain throughout the course of the season. I thought this right off the hop that maybe they were just a flash in the pan early. That's not been the case. Give me your assessment on them and why. This game's at 5:30, right, on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the reasoning is for that. I mean, yeah, the Penguins sure as heck have to be mad about that. I mean, it's only about 22 hours rest between right. games here, and they're coming off that long road trip here with being out west. So, I think they set themselves up for success with that long winning streak early in the season. I mean, they not to say they could coast or just, you know, put on autopilot the rest of the year, but that gives you a larger room for error and in terms of, you know, trying to secure a playoff spot down the stretch here. And something cataclysmic, I think, would have to happen for them to slip out of even, you know, a place in the regular standings and go down the wild card, let alone out of the playoff race. But it's still kind of the Jack Hughes show there. I mean, he's not Sidney Crosby, but he's their Sidney Crosby. He's the guy that everything's built around. I mean, he's not going to be like not Sidney Crosby, not Alex Ovechkin, not Connor McDavid, but he'd probably be like a Steven Stamkos as far as, you know, being the pillar of that franchise. And they have some good supplemental pieces, you know, Jesper Bratt, Nikki Hischier, you know, Dougie Hamilton's really been a revelation there in terms of, you know, a guy that they brought in, you know, 2 years ago and become a number one defenseman. And some really good supplemental pieces all over the lineup. You know, John Marino's, you know, who we all know here, he's played pretty well for them. Just recently returned to the lineup from a lengthy injury. So really good defensive presence for them. And, you know, Vitek Vanacek, who they kind of plucked out of the Washington Capitals system there. He always had potential in Washington, but he was always kind of like just in a platoon there. And with Ilya Samsonov, who's now the starting goalie in Toronto, actually, ironically enough, but he's really kind of cemented himself there as a legit number one there. Again, not a guy I think you can win a Stanley Cup with, but maybe because of. Still very young into his career here, but a guy who's really kind of blossomed there in New Jersey. So, they kind of, you know, hit the skids here a little bit after a lengthy winning streak, you know, when they struggled a little bit in December, but they've kind of got a little bit, some guys back in the lineup healthier. And again, they're a team that's out there, you know, supposedly tied to a guy like, say, Timo Meier, one of the big fish out there, pardon the pun, San Jose Shark as a potential trade target there. But I mean, you know, they're going to be a team that probably is going to be aggressive at the trade deadline here, add a big piece and really set themselves up for success going into the playoffs. But they're largely, a team that the Penguins are going to have trouble with when they play them on Saturday, regardless of the circumstances, just based on how well they're playing and how well and deep they're constructed.
Seth, thanks. You know, it's going to be a busy 4 days for you. Appreciate you squeezing some time in for us here today. And, if you find out anything about that 5:30 thing, that's weird. Let me know what you hear because I don't like it. it's still too late. Like, we'll be getting out of there too late, I think, to enjoy a Saturday night. And it's way too early to get to the rink and enjoy Saturday afternoon. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All I know is I don't have to go to a morning skate. So that's okay. A good part for me there. So.
Well, that's true. You come out a winner there. All right, Seth, thanks.
Take care, Tim.
All right, Seth Rohrabaugh, our guest here on Breakfast of the Bens.